We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We made a vow early on that first and foremost, we would put the health, the safety, and the wellness of our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions. So we felt that this was an appropriate time to make this announcement.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren announcing yesterday that the Big Ten is only going to go with conference play. Some teams wanted to have at least one non-con game. No, just conference play. But Warren was upfront about it, opening with the media, saying we don't even know that we're going to have a college football season. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's go down to Nashville. I like to check in with Chris Childers anytime we're talking college football. You can find him on Twitter at Childers Radio. Chris, you reside in Nashville, and many of us are very jealous, but tell me the truth. Were you the guy providing Jay Cutler with the night vision goggles?
I was not that guy. I can promise you right now. I have an alibi. My wife can attest for me. I was not that human being. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm sorry.
It was highly entertaining. I Chicago with nothing else going on in sports.
No,
really.
Nothing.
We had that for a few days to entertain us. Was it a thing down there?
Not really. Nobody really cared around here. Everybody's just kind of like in their. The South is weird. I mean, everybody's carrying on like life is normal up until like a couple of days ago. I think they finally did a mask mandate in Nashville. But, like, for the last few, like, weeks, everybody's just carrying on. Like, nothing is going on. Nobody's wearing masks. It's bizarro land. But I guess we got some spikes, and now people are, like, putting themselves back together. But nobody was paying attention to Jay Cutler. They were at the beach. They were out having their barbecue. It was wild, man. It's been a while. Like, for the last month and a half, I was just in Vernon Hills, like, a week ago to see my dad who had surgery. And yeah. It was, like, the greatest thing in the world because anytime I went anywhere, everybody was all masked up. I had a golf lesson at the PGA Superstore in Vernon Hills. The instructor had a mask. I had a mask. It felt wonderful. But, no, man, everybody's carrying on like normal. So I don't think anybody even noticed Jay Cutler.
Do they give you strange looks if you're out and about and you're wearing a mask?
Yes. Dude, yeah. So, like, my six-year-old – I will not go anywhere without a mask. And I was like weird at the beginning of it. I was wearing gloves and the whole thing. I put the gloves down. Now I just have like the sanitizer in my pocket always, the little spritzy one, so I can like touch something, spritz up, you know, get back at it, touch something, spritz up. But yes, man, like I remember at the Nike store, they had just opened the Nike store in Cool Springs, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. And I was waiting. I wanted to see if there was like any new cool J's that were on the shelf. Every once in a while, they get some like cool on clearance ones or whatever. So I was looking for Jordans, like always. And these people were in a line in front of me, and no mask. The kids didn't have any mask, and they were just going on and on about how it was a hoax and blah blah blah. And I'm like, what world am I living in right now? This is bizarro land. Like, what's happening? So, not the most fun going out and about in Nashville, Tennessee.
So what was the reaction a couple of days ago when they finally had that mandate?
Oh, people are pissed. They're so mad. People are like, you're taking away my rights. And I'm like, just put on a damn mask and be considerate to other people, please. Like, please follow what Illinois is doing. It's not that hard. Like, it really isn't to go into a store for 20 minutes. But I'm telling you, man, like, if you drive by the lake here, it is packed, like, every day. Everybody's carrying on. It's bizarro land. So – it makes, like, as soon as all of this was going on, as far as college football, Because in this part of the country, college football is like a religion. So I grew up in Chicago, right? So as much as like the Cubs and the Bears and all of that are part of the fabric of the DNA, that's college football in the South. And I don't think they understand that their actions are screwing it up. Like, they're messing up the potential of college football. I don't think that's clicking right now.
They don't understand. If you want college football this fall, wear a mask.
100%. Right? It's very simple. And stay 6 feet away from people. Like, it's not that hard. And I don't think, like, I do it all the time. And I don't feel like my rights have been taken away as an American. You know, it's just, it's bizarre world to me. But so who knows? And now we see all these outbreaks and all these campuses. And I'm like, what'd you guys expect?
Yeah. Yeah. So we got the news yesterday. Big Ten, the plan is for now, if they can have some sort of a season, only conference play. Today, the Pac-12 follows suit. So what do you think is next? I mean, you're an SEC country. I don't know. You cover that sport every single day. But just from afar, I would guess that would be the last conference to step in and make an announcement like that.
Yeah, I'm curious what the SEC is going to do. I'm curious what Greg Sankey is going to do, because there's obviously revenue at play. I mean, if you condense the season and knock a couple of games off it, and I think the Big Ten will likely play like 10 games or something like that.
That's the hope.
That's revenue, right? Like, that's considerable revenue that you're taking away. I'm sure they worked it out with Fox, the Tier 1, and all of that to make a way where this was feasible and wasn't going to hurt them. Plus, I guess, yeah, that's losing revenue, but at the same token, you're not paying out the money games. You're not paying Northern Illinois twice to go to Maryland and Iowa. You're not paying the Ball States of the world to go on the road and take a million-dollar paycheck. So you're saving money in that regard. So I think that could help the Big Ten. But this is what I thought was going to happen. I just thought I know a couple weeks ago there was all this wishful thinking and everybody kind of changed their direction of thinking about the coronavirus and the impact in the country. And, you know, I saw people like Clay Travis say the coronavirus is dead and it's over and blah, blah, blah. Well, it obviously wasn't. And we let our guard down and the things have been spiking again. So I think when I saw that Ohio State closed down practice, and we've seen other ones, Kansas State, Kansas, a bunch of schools have done this all over the country. Not practice, but the voluntary workouts, which is essentially a mandatory workout practice kind of thing that every kid has to go through in the summertime. Mandatory is BS. I mean, you want to voluntary is BS. You want to be on the football team, you better get there if you want to play during the summer. And with those shutting down, to me, I mean, look, we just passed the 4th of July. So next week, I should have, in any other realm of reality besides 2020, I would have been getting in my car from Nashville going to Atlanta for SEC Media Days next week. And to me, that's the start of college football. Like, that's in my head when it gets started. That's when we start going on the road, going to camps. Your kids are practicing. Everybody's done with vacation. That's kind of, to me, the unofficial start of college football. We ain't going anywhere next week. I mean, nobody's going anywhere. We don't even know if we're going to have these virtual media days or when they're going to be. We've been told they've been virtual, but they haven't given us a date yet. So I don't know. I don't know what the SEC is going to do. The SEC could still say they want to play 12. And if they do, then if we have a 12-game SEC league and then we have a 10-game Big Ten, and then Bill Hancock yesterday said that he's adamant we're still going to have the college football playoff as we know it with the 13 committee members deciding, that's going to be weird as hell. But I don't know how we do it. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten setting this precedent, the SEC probably follows suit. The ACC probably follows suit. The Big 12 probably follows suit. I'll be honest with you, from a fan's perspective, I know it sucks. I will preface it by saying it sucks for the Group of Five. It's awful for the Northern Illinois of the world. It's awful for – I went to Middle Tennessee State. It stinks for my alma mater. But you know what? At the end of the day – going to one of those schools and being an alum of one of those schools, I really don't give a damn about football when it comes to my alma mater. Like, the best we can do is win Conference USA and then play in some bowl game that 10 people watch or go to, right? Like, nobody cares. It's not like basketball. If you go to a school like that, basketball is what you care about. because basketball, you can make a run and get to the Final Four. I mean, we've seen Wichita State. We've seen VCU. We've seen Georgia Mason. You know, I went to Middle Tennessee. We beat Michigan State a couple of years ago. That ain't going to happen in football. Like, it's just not going to go down like that. So, but it stinks for them. Obviously, there's coaches that make salaries. There's players that get scholarships. I just think this might lead to a correction. I think fans are going to look at this and say, oh, my God, conference play is pretty good. Like, give me a couple more games. This is going to be good football. We don't have to sit through a weekend of Northern Illinois taking on Alabama. I hate to use Northern, but, you know, Northern's the closest school that I know in your proximity that people are going to, you know, kind of get the point. But you get where I'm going with that. I mean,
they're missing out on some paychecks, man. Well, you mentioned it earlier, Maryland and Iowa.
Yeah, well, they're gonna suffer because of it. I mean, this morning on my radio show, I talked to Sean Frazier, who's the NIU athletic director, who I've gotten to know well over the years. He's a wonderful guy. Went to Alabama, so I know his sports in the South and college football and the landscape and all of that. And Sean's like, look, he's like, every single day we're chugging away, we're grinding, but the hurdle keeps getting bigger. Like, you jump over a 5-foot hurdle, now here's a 10-foot hurdle, here's a 15-foot hurdle. At some point, you're gonna fall on your face. Like, I don't know how you can continue this. The interesting thing is, though, that we talked about today, and I think this is something that's profound, and I hope that it gains traction. But for months and months and years, Rick Neuheisel and I, who's my co-host on Full Ride, the old coach at UCLA in Colorado, have suggested the Group of Five, the MACs, the Conference USAs, et cetera, move college football to the spring. Have your own TV deals, Fox, you know, ESPN, and you're not competing with the major college football. Sean Frazier's like, we're at a point we kind of got to think about that. And I think if you had a standalone college football in the spring, you would be more attractive and you'd make more money from an ESPN or CBS. I think it would make a lot of sense to have those conversations, but it's bizarre land right now. I mean, I'm just of this mindset that I'm covering a season that is something I've never encountered before. I've never seen just a conference-only season. I have no idea what a playoff would be like. As a Heisman voter, how does that affect me? I mean, a lot of times as a Heisman voter, I'm looking at non-conference games to be somewhat of a data point in a separation. And if I'm looking at, you know, the stats of a Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, and he's playing a bunch of cupcakes in the ACC, or at least perceived to be, and then I'm juxtaposing that to whoever's doing it in the SEC or the Big Ten, you know, how is that fair without having that big non-conference opponent to kind of use as a gauge? So it's going to be bizarre, and it's going to be really weird to follow and cover and just be a part of this upcoming year if we have, fingers crossed, knock on wood, this upcoming year.
Right. Joe Ostrowski with Chris Childers, at Childers Radio on Twitter. He's a local guy. Now he's working in SEC country down in Nashville, Tennessee. Chris, can they make a spring football season work? I know you were talking about some of the smaller conferences moving to the spring anyways, and Sean Frazier has tried to push for getting their own playoff since it's clear that a MAC team will never be represented in the college football playoff. But with how it's set up with the draft and then the NFL season, you'd be asking these players to play two football seasons in one calendar year. Can they do that?
It's going to be tricky. Again, Neuheisel seems to think they can. I mean, he's a guy that played in the USFL and coached in the Alliance of American Football, so he's like Mr. Spring Football. So he kind of thinks there's a way to do it. You'd have to push back the draft date. I don't know if a couple of months, though, is enough for your body. Like, that's my thing. And he seems to think that it is. Like, a couple of months, you can recover, recuperate. But we're talking about guys going from the college level going to the NFL. And they're already getting beat up for 12 games at the college level. And now 2 months later, you're going to go through 16. I don't know. I mean, I'm no doctor. I obviously don't know the football player as well as Rick does, since he's, you know, coached several universities and had success and went to Rose Bowls and stuff like that. But I got to believe, man, that that's got to be tough for the body. To just turn around a couple of months later and play 16 more, that's got to be difficult. I mean, to me, that's like the you know, when the Hawks used to go really deep into the playoffs and then they got to play again like a couple of months later. And it's like, that's got to suck because your body hasn't had time. And you would always notice the next year they would kind of fizzle out a little bit earlier than they would the year before when they were on that run. But it's wild, man. It's going to be just a weird, interesting, wild time in the world of sports and college football.
Chris, last year took the kids for the first time to Disney World. We stayed at Port Orleans, and I know you're a Disney nerd. Is it killing you that you have no shot at going to Orlando for quite some time?
Well, all right. So here's the thing. I'm an annual pass holder, okay? And I've got a vacation booked for August 1st. So I know. That's coming up really soon. It's just me and a friend of mine. Like, I wasn't going to put my daughter and wife through that. But we booked it. We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens over the next couple weeks. I know they're going through some trials right now with some pass holder preview events and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm being Oliver optimistic and hoping that somehow, some way, I'm going to be on Space Mountain in a couple of weeks, and all my coronavirus worries are just going to go away for like 2 minutes at a time, and be, you know, flying on Flight of Passage to the world of Avatar, and just being, you know, consumed in that world without thinking about everything else. But I'm not an idiot, so I'm not exactly hopeful that that's going to go down. So to answer your question, it's helpful that there's a trip booked, but it still could be very, very sad once we get there in a couple of weeks.
Once things are normal, and we say normal, I don't know if that's ever going to be the case. Things may have changed for quite some time here. But once we're able to take trips and I go back with the family, where do I need to stay, and what is your favorite ride there?
I love Splash Mountain, but Splash Mountain's about to be changed, which I completely understand why, and I'm for it. And I think they'll nail it with Princess and the Frog, but I just love Splash Mountain, getting wet and going on the log ride with all the singing animals. I always thought that was really fun. So
it is, yeah.
But it's going to stay great. I love it. The Avatar Flight of Passage is freaking amazing. It's so unbelievably just immersive at Animal Kingdom. It's so good. What else do I love? The new Rise of the Resistance ride is phenomenal for Star Wars fans. If you can get on it, it's kind of a pain. When I went on it, I had to like wake up at 6 in the morning and get there early and get lucky on the app to get a virtual reservation. We got it, but it was mind-blowing for a Star Wars fan. That was really cool. So a lot of good stuff. If you can pony
up. Am I stupid? Chris, am I dumb? Because I was a really big fan of the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
It's a great ride. No, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's one I easily could put in the mix, 100%. I mean, that's Space Mountain. I've always loved Rock and Roller Coaster is fantastic. And
yes.
Hollywood Studios, that's the Aerosmith ride. I mean, come on. That's why I'm so addicted. There's so many different great ones that you can choose from. I mean, Epcot's got its highlights, obviously, as well. The Frozen ride's really good if you have kids. Even if you don't, I'm kind of like a big 38-year-old kid that loves that kind of stuff. But, yeah, man, like all of it's good. But if you're going to stay somewhere, I think if you can pony up for it, the Polynesian's fantastic. Polynesian is really cool. It's got that tropical Hawaiian vibe. They got the Dole Whips. They got this drink at the bar called the Tiki 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 Rum, which is fantastic. Polynesian is awesome. Plus, if you can like get people to go with you, they have these like cool bungalow thingies on the water. That's just really cool. And you can split it, and it's fantastic.
I feel like you could go another hour on that.
I can go for like five. Yeah.
Chris, thank you so much for your time tonight. Stay safe in Nashville, okay?
All right, man. It's always an honor to be on the Score. I think I've told you before, but I grew up listening to the station. It's the reason that I do what I do. So I get really excited when I get asked to go on 670. So thanks so much for having me up.
That's awesome. I have a similar story. That's why I'm working here, because I was a listener like you growing up, man.
Boris and Bernstein. Like, if it wasn't for Terry and Dan, I would care less about sports radio. Those two guys, just in the weirdness of Terry Bores, has contributed to my weirdness on the air big time. Big time. I just kind of let it go, and I'm not embarrassed by it, and Terry gave me that freedom and belief, seriously. So,
awesome.
Love you, Terry.
Thank you so much, Chris.
All right, guys. See ya.
Chris Childers, at Childers Radio on Twitter. The Show Pony, hear him on Sirius XM. Living in SEC country, talks about college football, college basketball every single day. Man, they just started the mask mandate in Nashville. He's been wearing the mask every day, and people look at him like he's nuts. It's got to be so strange, because he grew up here, but now he's living down there, and it is a completely different world. However, I will say, like many of you that have been to Nashville, downtown area, it's awesome. Love going there. Great city to live in. Understand why Cuddy picked that spot. Man, good stuff there from Chris. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Later on this hour, it's 7:40. We're going to check in with our guy, Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine. If you missed it, news of the day is Michael Kopech. He will not be participating in the Sox 2020 season. More on that coming up. Joe Osho, 670, The Score, and the Radio.com app.
You're listening to The Joe Osho on 670, The Score.
15 minutes from now, we'll check in with Josh Nelson, talk about the White Sox. Story of the day, Michael Kopech not participating this season. Last Friday, the only thing the Sox would say, currently Michael is healthy. He's out for personal reasons, did not show up at those workouts. And then today we find out he is the 12th player now to opt out. Earlier in the day, Buster Posey. Today, Michael Kopech. Names are getting bigger and bigger. I think that's going to be the case over the next 2 weeks. We're 13 days away from the Major League Baseball opening day, 14 days away from the Cubs and Sox. And it could be true that these players just wanted to see how it was set up, to see if they feel safe, to see how their teammates are doing, how many positive tests are coming in. What do we get today? Today, the word was Major League Baseball announced that they have had 66 positive tests. That's not a lot. I mean, that's pretty good if you want to look at it as a headline. It's 66 positive tests during the intake process, 83 total. So with a sample of 11,149, that's less than 1%. 28 of the 30 teams have had at least one positive test. One of those two teams with zero positive tests, the Cubs. Now the Sox have had two. If you want to jump to a conclusion, I know a lot of people are going to do this now because they announced that they did have two players on the South side that tested positive. We don't know those players, but we do know that Yoan Moncada was put on the injured list today. That's what we do know. Oh, and by the way, the Fantastic Faces, great promotion they have, making money for White Sox charities. They sold out. The deadline was Sunday at midnight, and I know you had to send the picture, how you were going to use it, pay your $49, and I think it's like $30 shipping. All 1,500 sold out. Chen, I was wrong about that. I thought that they wouldn't quite get to 1,500. I was thinking it's something a lot of people are talking about, but when it comes down to paying the money, paying for the shipping, sending the image that you want to use, I don't know that all those people are going to go to all those steps inside of a week, but they did. No more available.
Yeah, I think the reason why is because what's everybody doing right now? Nobody can really go to restaurants.
I know.
Nobody can do anything. They've got all this expendable money. So, hey, you know what? It seems like fun to some people.
It is fun, I guess. Not something I would do, but yeah. Everybody wants to be George Jacobs. M&M jacket, right?
No.
No, you don't want to be him?
No, or Marlins man. Nobody wants to be those guys.
Isn't that why people are doing it? I mean, you can donate money to charity without doing this. I think people want to turn on the games, and they're going to listen to Stoney and Jason Benetti, and they want to see their cardboard cutout, and then they get it back at the end of the season.
And if, I guess,
isn't that why people are doing this?
Right, and if you're if a ball hits the cardboard cutout, don't they send you the ball as well?
Yeah, that's what I heard. See, but so let's say I have the cardboard cutout, and a screamer by Aloy knocks my head off. Right, I would want the cutout. Do they also send the cutout, or just the baseball?
I mean, I'm sure you could ask for the cutout back. So, yeah, I can't see why they wouldn't be able to send it back. They're going to send it back originally.
Beheaded?
Yeah, why wouldn't they do it with just your head?
I definitely would want that. And yeah, that would be awesome. That's another cool promotion they're doing. So, I apparently it raised over $55,000 for White Sox charities. Everybody's a winner in that, right? That's a very cool story. They probably are wishing today, maybe we should have made the number a little bit higher than 1,500. By the time you get to Sunday night, how high could it have gone? So that is all sold out. If you were thinking about it, if you were talking to your buddy about it, too late. If you didn't do it already, you can't do it. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ozzie Guillen was insightful this morning on the Mully and Haw show. And he said a few things that I think a lot of us really aren't considering about this upcoming season. So much of this is about, okay, can we get there? Can we finish the season? But what about once you start the season? What is it going to be like in the clubhouse? The media can't tell you because the media is not going to be allowed. The media is just going to be up in the press box, and then they're going to be on the Zoom calls with the manager before and probably after, and then maybe a player before the game and also after a game. Here's Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw just talking about what it could be like with some players during the season.
You know what? My respect, and because they did it for a reason. You're not going to see a kid making $20,000 step out. You know, you're going to see the big names guy, the guys make the money in the past, the guy is already good enough to leave, the guys, they don't care what happens with them next year. Because day in or day out, they don't care because they already make his career. It surprised me David Price did because he loved the game. I know the kid very well. I know he loved the game, got to go out there, be with the team. You got to be in with them to see exactly why they, you know, the power. I said, you know what I mean? It's not an easy situation. You know, I mean, some people love to be with the family. Sometimes you got a strong wife, and you know, I mean, I think when you with your family, your wife dictate what to do, and maybe the wife say, you know, I don't want to be around people. You get sick, we got kids. Why you want to pay for two? And sometimes maybe David Price is tired. Maybe his arm is hurt. You never know, and now he got two more months to get, you know, to resolve that problem. Don't use his arm. That can be like that. But that's why McCann, the catcher for the White Sox, I see a call from his wife. I'm like, oh my God, this lady is legit. She say, I don't mind 2 months without my husband because that's his job. And my job is to take care of my kids and making them grow up. And that's the way players-wise have to think about it. You know, they have to think about, they know this is our job. They know we have to be there to make the money, to make the living. And I tip my hat to her when she said that. I can't wait to see McCann to say, you know what, brother, I marry you, I marry your wife. Because, she does. You know what I mean? My wife will tell me, say, hey, I don't want you to manage it anymore. I don't have any choice. I'll get divorced or go managing. And I think when she said that, I tip my hat to her because everybody had to think the same way. In this moment, guys, we cannot think about our future. We cannot think about what's going to happen. We cannot think about we're going to get sick. You think if you're going to get sick, do not leave your house, period. Okay? We have to think about baseball. Baseball needs help. The way baseball, the game is right now, it needs help. The only people can help them is the people working the game. And I think the players is a big, the biggest help we can get. And hopefully those guys get together. With all my respect for the players, you know, they do whatever they want. But right now, both sides of the game have to think about the game and not about individual things.
Ozzie Guillen this morning with Mully and Haw, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We've got some news dropping right now as well. Talk to Josh Nelson in just a few moments. But the Pac-12 conference just issued this statement. After experiencing mild flu-like symptoms late this week, and out of an abundance of caution, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott was tested for COVID-19. The test for Commissioner Scott came back positive, and as a result, he is self-quarantining at the direction of his physician. Commissioner Scott is continuing to carry on his duties remotely as normal. The Pac-12 comes out today. It says they're following suit with the, just like the Big Ten, conference games only. And then they're announcing this evening that their commissioner has tested positive for COVID. Now, a few more details on the Michael Kopech story today, not participating in the 2020 season for the White Sox. This from The Athletic. James Feegan does a great job. And part of his story, Kopech has elected not to make a public statement at this time. Multiple sources told The Athletic that Kopech has not been deemed a high-risk individual for the COVID-19 pandemic and will thus not receive salary nor accrue service time for the 2020 season. No salary, no service time. When he reports to spring training in 2021, he will do so with one season and 41 days to his name, at least 5 years away from free agency. Wow. No money at all. Sure, we will hear from Kopech at some time, but as of right now, he's decided not to speak on the issue. Michael Kopech not participating this season, it's going to impact his development, but the only reaction should be, I respect his decision from his teammates, from Sox fans, from all of us. Joe Osho, we'll continue to talk about Kopech next. My buddy Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine will drop by. This is 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
I actually haven't been able to talk to him recently. You know, I know that he was getting after it in Arizona during the quarantine. I know moving forward he's going to be part of things here on the South Side. We look forward to getting him back.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
As White Sox backup catcher James McCann on the McNeil and Parkin show today, about an hour before the White Sox made the announcement via press release that Michael Kopech will not be participating in the 2020 season. Oh, by the way, Yoan Moncada on the injured list. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. A lot of White Sox stuff going on. Let's bring in our friend Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Shop over 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Josh, how's your News Dump Friday going?
It's going well. They picked a great time, didn't they? 5:01, the news comes across, and a slow news day becomes a very busy night.
What were you thinking over the last week? The Sox were giving very little on both situations now. We don't know much on Moncada. Let's handle Kopech first. The only thing Rick Hahn would say last Friday was he's currently healthy. So none of us knew what to do with that. And then we find out the real news a week later. Maybe no decision was made at the time. It was something that Kopech was grappling with over the past week. What were you thinking over the past week about Kopech?
Well, when it comes to Michael Kopech, my first thought is I hope everything's okay. Like, he's okay. His family's okay. Vanessa is okay. Everything is okay. And the second part, and I've been getting this question a lot, like, what would have been Michael Kopech's role in 2020? I really don't know, Joe. I mean, would have been out of the bullpen? Probably, because the original game plan before coronavirus hit was that Kopech was going to start the year in Charlotte down in AAA to break off some rust, because he hasn't pitched in a game since 2018. And as soon as the White Sox saw enough of him in AAA to feel comfortable that he could start games in 2020, they would obviously call him back up into Chicago. But you don't have that opportunity here. And the White Sox are in go mode. You don't sign Yasmani Grandal and Dallas Keuchel and Edwin Encarnacion just to punt another year. You are ready to win now. And you may not have the opportunities for Kopech to be a starter or to figure out if he's broken enough rust to trust him as a starter, but you still could use Michael Kopech out of the bullpen. But if Michael Kopech doesn't feel like that's the right situation for him coming back from Tommy John, and that might have long-term impact. Again, this is just speculating. This isn't anything that Kopech has said himself, and we're still waiting for that explanation if we ever do get one. But this overall may not have been a good situation for Michael Kopech anyways. So him missing out on the 2020 season is not the end of the world for the Chicago White Sox. They somehow have figured out with this delay of the season to have some pitching depth. They have Carlos Rodon now, who has appeared to be healthy. He is pitching for the White Sox during this week, and he should be throwing again soon in an intra-squad scrimmage. But the White Sox should have enough pitching depth to be a contender in 2020 without Michael Kopech.
We've been talking about the ceiling of Kopech for almost 4 years now, since the Chris Sale trade, And all we've seen is those four starts. And we all have to echo those sentiments that you mentioned, that we hope everything is okay. And I don't hold it against them, and I don't think anybody should. But now realizing that we're going to go north of 900 days between professional baseball appearances for Michael Kopech, does that change the calculus on your expectations of him?
I don't know if it changes my expectations of what he can be in the major leagues, but it is going to be, you know, the question is when, as I, a White Sox fan, can count on Michael Kopech to be an anchor in the starting rotation. Well, that's going to be sometime later in 2021, because I imagine that come spring training 2021 in Glendale, that Michael Kopech will be fit. He is a workout junkie. There's no question that he'll be in great shape, but it is about that in-game rust. And he's going to need time in Charlotte to break off that rust, to get back into rhythm, getting the ball every 5 days, throwing 100 pitches and being effective and still striking out guys at a high rate in AAA before Rick Hahn has confidence of inserting him back into the starting rotation. I can't imagine Rick Hahn would be comfortable having Michael Kopech in the starting rotation to start 2021 after he hasn't pitched again since late 2018. So the White Sox have to move forward without Michael Kopech, not only for 2020, but I think it's safe to assume for 2021, knowing that if someone did get hurt or there's a lack of production in the starting rotation, they still have Kopech waiting for them. So I would not dismiss Michael Kopech long-term for the White Sox plans. Obviously, the White Sox can't count on him in the short term, and that's unfortunate as far as on their on-field ability. But I think long-term, you still got to think highly of Michael Kopech, and he can still be that star pitcher that White Sox fans have been wishing for since the Chris Sale trade.
Joe Ostrowski with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine. SoxMachine.com, not the. Sports Radio 670, the score. Okay, Josh, 2 weeks away from opening day. What's the five-man rotation going to be?
Well, I think it's going to be Giolito, Keiko. Gonzalez says that his shoulder is not barking as bad as it was back in March, so I see Gonzalez slotted there. And then I see Cease and Lopez rounding out as far as the starting rotation. And if Gonzalez doesn't feel fit to be starting, maybe then you have Carlos Rodon be that fifth starter. And Gio Gonzalez kind of goes back into a role that he had with the Milwaukee Brewers last year, which he was kind of that swing man, that long reliever out of the bullpen where he feels good for 2 to 3 innings, but he can't go 4 or 5 innings anymore. And that's okay because the White Sox still need that type of pitcher in the bullpen. So that's kind of how I see as far as the starting rotation right now. A couple of weeks before opening day is, again, Giolito, Keuchel, Gonzalez, Rodon, and then Cease and Lopez.
What does the Yoan Moncada news of him going to the injured list tell you? I mean, it sucks that we're here, Josh, and we're in this crazy world, and they don't have to tell us anything if they don't want to. It sucks, but people are just going to be speculating on this.
Yeah, I mean, you get connect the dots. You had two positive tests. The players asked for privacy, so the White Sox don't have to tell you who these players are. You only put two players on the injured list. Like, you're going to have people speculating. You're going to have people connect the dots. And you can't say yes or no that they have coronavirus. It's just one of those, please don't ask about it. We can't tell you. To me, out of the news dump, the Yoan Moncada news is far greater impact to the White Sox than Michael Kopech opting out of 2020, Joe. Because at this moment, I don't know how Rick Renteria can count on having Moncada ready for opening day. He has to move forward. And we've been kind of like joking in the last couple of days. Oh, it's fun to see Andrew Vaughn or Yermer Mercedes playing third base. They may have to play third base, Joe, on opening day because the White Sox don't have great depth behind Tim Anderson at shortstop and Yoan Moncada at third base. And what we thought was a joke and kind of fun to see now has to be a serious situation that the White Sox may have to roll with on opening day. And I can't believe I'm saying this, Joe, but it might be Yermer Mercedes as the White Sox opening day starting third baseman if Mankata is not healthy enough to ramp up and be ready on opening day for the White Sox. Hopefully Mankata is able to join the White Sox soon. But their first 11 games, Joe, it's three home games against the Minnesota Twins. Those will be tough. And then they got to go on the road for eight games. I mean, it is a tough 11-game stretch to start the 2020 season for the White Sox. And they might be rolling with Yermer Mercedes, who played four games in for the Charlotte Knights at third base last year. If pitchers have control, put the ball in the air or make sure nobody hits it to Mercedes at third base, and maybe everything will be okay.
No, Josh, that's important what you just said there, and I want to hammer that home because, yes, a player opting out earlier today, it was Buster Posey, and then Kopech became the 12th player. Of course, that's going to lead the headlines, and then it's kind of under the radar, if you want to say that, about the Mankata dudes, and you're right, connect the dots. But the impact of not having Kopech versus maybe not having Yoan Moncada at the start of this truncated season, that's brutal. Until proven otherwise, he's the best player on the team.
Yes, you are 100% right. Imagine if Javier Baez could not start the 2020 season for the Chicago Cubs. How would you feel about the Cubs' chances then in 2020 if Javier Baez wasn't ready to go on opening day? You wouldn't feel good about it. No one would feel good about it on the north side. And right now for White Sox fans, yeah, it's exciting because now they have more depth and there is more star power. But the fact that we have to now seriously consider that Yermer Mercedes is going to be the starting third baseman for the Chicago White Sox on opening day. This doesn't become a laughing matter. Now it's become Mercedes, we hope that you hit. We think you will hit, but please do not embarrass yourself at third base. Try to be, you know, respectable at that spot. And man, I hope they hit a lot of ground balls to Tim Anderson. And they don't put pressure on Mercedes. Maybe it's even Andrew Vaughn, but Andrew Vaughn didn't even play the position in college. You know, Joe McEwing, good luck, Joe, because he has to find a third baseman out of Mercedes, Andrew Vaughn, Danny Mendick, or Lurie Garcia to fill in for Yoan Moncada. Again, if Moncada is not ready to go on opening day, but I think the smart play by manager Rick Renteria is just to prepare that he won't be. So prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And I think of these intra-squad scrimmages and even the exhibition games the White Sox will have against the Cubs and Brewers, Joe, I'm expecting Yermer Mercedes to get a lot of playing time at third base these next couple of weeks.
Josh, I know the other day you made some baseball bets on win totals. What'd you do?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? Because you should. You probably know that you shouldn't be betting win totals in a 60-game season.
No, but it's a sin for me, Joe. Okay, so for the overs,
it's a tradition. You got to do it. You do it every single year.
I know I do. So okay, I'll take the ones I'm not confident. That's my over bets. According to my calculations, looking at projection models and what Rivers Casino is putting out there, I went with the Tigers, the Marlins, and the Royals as the overs. For the unders,
my stomach hurts. Wait, yeah. Your overs are Detroit, Miami, did you say Baltimore?
And Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City.
No, not Baltimore, Kansas City.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't go to the depths. I would not take the Orioles. That's silly, Joe. I took the Royals.
Take the Royals, yeah. The unders, so my under plays that I like, okay, one is the Yankees. I think the Rays are going to give the Yankees a tough time in the American League East. And now that the East has to play the National League East, that's not a cakewalk as well for the Yankees. I think the Yankees will win 34 to 35 games this year, Joe, but the over-under right now is hovering around 36.5, 37.5 for some books. So that's why I'm going with the Yankees as an under. The other two are in the National League East, the Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Wheeler is still on the fence if he's going to pitch in 2020. If he decides not to, the Phillies are not that good of a team. And the other team is the Atlanta Braves. I think the Braves are going to finish above 500, but I do not see them winning 34 or 35 games this year. They could be 31 or 32 wins because I think, Joe, the loss of Freddie Freeman, especially in that clubhouse, is going to be great. They still have a lot of talent, but they're a bit on the younger side. And when you lose that veteran presence in Freddie Freeman, that's going to take a win or two off. But Freddie Freeman is maybe the best first baseman in all of Major League Baseball. And he's an impact bat for the Braves that they have to figure out to replace his production. I feel a lot more confident in my under bets than my over bets.
I understand why you feel that way. I don't hate those. Spiegs definitely disagrees with you on Miami. I was surprised that they Pecota projected Miami to go 27-33.
Yeah, Zips and Fangraphs also likes Miami to hit the over as well, sitting at about 26 wins. I think for me, if you want to be really risky, does Baltimore win 15 games in 2020? Like, I want to know what that I want to know what that spread is, because if a book wants to give me plus 300 odds on over under 15 and a half wins for Baltimore in 2020, I think I'm taking the under, Joe.
Look at what we're talking about. They're playing in the East. What if they play Tampa and half of Tampa's team tests positive? Like, that could be a reality this year. Then all of a sudden it's, well, no, then Tampa's still more talented, actually. I take that back.
Yeah, I mean, what team does Baltimore want to put out? I mean, looking at the draft class next year, it's Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, the Vanderbilt starting pitchers. Baltimore needs starting pitching. They're the team that can easily tank just for the draft pick. Like, they may put out the worst talented team that we have seen since the 2003 Detroit Tigers. Like, I'm not expecting a lot of talent for the Baltimore Orioles. I'm not expecting Adley Rutschman to be playing for the Baltimore Orioles this year. That team is going to be bad, and I don't think they're going to win 20 games this year.
Josh, keep your spirits up about your White Sox. The weekend is here, so enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Josh Nelson, SoxMachine.com, at SoxMachine underscore Josh on Twitter. He's a fantastic follow, so all Sox fans, you should be following Josh Nelson and everybody over at SoxMachine.com. Check out the podcast, too. It's a really really good and entertaining listen with Josh and Jim Margulis, who's a regular on this show as well. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score, in the 8 o'clock hour for the early odds segment at around 8:20. We've got a UFC expert coming on, one of my favorite visitors to early odds. He's going to tell you what you should be betting on, because I know very little. So I'm going to be asking a lot of dumb questions. Forgive me if you want to just check out the picks. He'll be here at about 8:20, Gianni the Greek. But coming up next, we'll hear from Theo Epstein. He spoke with the media today on a myriad of topics. Joe Osho, 670 The Score, and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.